You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen?
We're going to whoop their
What's up, y'all? Welcome on into the Go Balls 24/7 podcast. Wes Rucker and Patrick Brown coming to you from Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina, where the fifth-ranked Tennessee football team had its national championship hopes done and dusted in a game that I don't think any of us saw coming, not in the way that it did anyway. I don't think there's any way that anyone could have been prepared for the possibility of South Carolina 63, Tennessee 38. To me, what happened in that football game tonight was almost, you're stretching to the maximum the possibility of losing all the goodwill that seemed impossible to lose. It was a bad situation. It started poorly. It got a little bit better, and then it got a lot worse, and then Hendon Hooker got hurt. So I don't even know what's worse than worse. It was bad.
Yeah, Wes, I mean, it's one thing if you have you have so much riding even after you lose to Georgia, and the tone after that game was, you know, we're going to do what we can and see where it ends up in terms of still having big things and making the playoff. And that's been out there. Tennessee's been number five. If you lost it on like a last second field goal or something like that, that's one thing. But to lose it, I mean, they've still got the score posted up here at Williams-Brice Stadium, 63-38 to a team that lost by 30 last week. Didn't score an offensive touchdown. I mean, this is why they play the games. I don't think anybody saw this coming. I mean, we drove over here Friday night, and I told you, I was like, I just got a weird feeling that, you know, everybody's picking Tennessee to win, name their score. I'm like, those South Carolina guys aren't gonna have anything to lose. They're gonna, you know, bounce. You know, they're better than what they showed last week. Nobody saw this coming. And if you're Tennessee, you hope that it's one of those bad days in the long run.
I had zero inkling that anything like this was going to happen. If I had any idea that anything – I mean, honestly, I'm not going to say that the possibility of Tennessee losing this game never entered my mind, but
it really didn't.
Like, this team had done so much throughout the season that you could sort of throw away that whole battered ball syndrome, the put your cup on for Tennessee. These guys, they didn't just beat Florida. They didn't just beat – Alabama. They did it in the same season. They went to LSU, played one of what is the best teams in college football right now, and absolutely annihilated it. Allowed only 12 points, I believe, or 13 points in that game. And then tonight, a quarterback, Spencer Rattler, who entered this game with 8 touchdown passes and 9 interceptions, like went into a phone booth and came out as Superman. I mean, some of those passes he completed tonight, unbelievable passes. Yeah. We have a really good view from up here in the press box. I'm not diminishing anything. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm just saying I feel like you can't just put blame on people without giving credit to people who actually do something. I think games are won more than they are lost, generally speaking. And he played winning football tonight. He played out of his mind. He was, for one night, at least one night only, he was the player that everybody thought he was going to be coming out of high school. He was unbelievable. Some of those throws tonight, you couldn't throw the ball. You couldn't hand it to them any better, 30, 40 yards downfield.
Right.
But Tennessee, and I've got this line in my column that I haven't published yet. Tennessee tried man, it tried zone, it tried pressure, it tried sitting back. It tried everything except for covering and tackling, because no matter what Tennessee did, it did not cover, it did not tackle. It was, considering the circumstances, about as bad as a performance from a single like group at Tennessee as I can remember. With everything on the line to come out and do that, there are no excuses. There are no – you cannot sugarcoat it. You cannot couch it. That was
It was a disaster.
It was about as bad as it gets on the football
field. It was complete and utter disaster, Wes. There's no you can't say anything good about it. You can't be like, well, no, there's no well, but there's no but, and it's unfortunate because this defense has been better this season. I know Tim Banks had his detractors coming into this game. Willie Martinez did as well. But they had come into this game averaging, giving up 22 points a game. Their last four opponents, I think they had held them all under 400 yards. That includes Georgia, who was pretty good on offense. But this one's going to be held against this team, this defense, and this staff, this defensive embarrassment.
And beyond the fact that it will, it should.
Right. I mean, it's everybody saw it happen. Everybody knows that. I mean, South Carolina didn't score an offensive touchdown last week. Spencer Rattler's been a huge disappointment this season. They're ready to run the offensive coordinator out on the rails here. They still might. I mean, we joked a few minutes ago that South Carolina will probably go to Clemson next week, look like crap, and then they'll fire Marcus Satterfield anyway.
I think some South Carolina fans might be a little bit angry that this enhances the possibility that he comes back, because he is reviled here.
If you would have said at some point, going back, you know, they gave up a bunch of yards to Florida back in September, right? If you'd have said down the stretch, like, that pass defense is going to cost them big time, you would have been like, okay, yeah, I can see that. If you'd have said it would have cost them at South Carolina, maybe they thought, no way. And that's, you know, Tennessee has had seasons with a lot on the line come here and lost. I think of 1992, the two-point conversion. I think of 2016, Butch Jones, when that team was controlled its own destiny in the East and came here and lost to Jake Bentley, who was making his second start. Weird stuff apparently happens when Tennessee plays this game. Like I said, no one saw this coming, and it's just baffling that they played that badly against this offense.
And if you're wondering why we haven't mentioned the Hendon Hooker injury yet, in terms of specifics, it's because we don't have them. If Tennessee has them right now, they are not releasing them. Josh Heupel said he is going to be evaluated when they get back to Knoxville. I imagine that would be sometime in the morning, and they'll take a look at it then and see where things are if they don't already know. But regardless, we'll have more on that later. But I want to be careful how I put this, because there are two very different streams of thought about this game. One of them is in the here and now. It is what happened on defense in this game. It was atrocious, and almost to the point where I don't want to say a head needs to be on a spike, but something's got to happen. You cannot, in that moment, in this game, with everything on the line against that team, do that. That's thought number one in my mind. Number two is about Hendon Hooker and how Tennessee deserved to lose this game. Hendon Hooker does not at all deserve an injury. That is, if it is as bad as it maybe looked like it was, that is as cruel a conclusion to a career as I can remember. It's one of those things that you go, why is life the way it is sometimes? Because nothing about that young man has ever led anyone to believe that anything like that was not. I don't even want to say justified. But it's just so beyond the realm of possibility that something like that in your mind, that it could happen.
And it was a freak deal. Non-contact, turf gives away as he's trying to make a move. I mean, the tone post-game, you know, Heupel didn't have a conversation. We didn't have an update. We talked to Jerome Carvin. We talked to Latrell Bumpus. We talked to Princeton Fant. And Carvin said it was the worst thing I've ever seen on the field. This guy just means so much to his teammates. He's so loved and so adored. He is almost, it's not fair to say he's single-handedly responsible for Tennessee being at this point this quickly under Josh Heupel, but the list of guys, he's at the top of it, and I don't know who's second, but it's a distant second, very distant second. That guy's been everything that's right about college football. He's been a great player. He's been fun to watch. And, you know, you hope it's not bad. It looked bad. The tone was very somber after the game. Mm-hmm. That just made this whole night even worse for Tennessee, as bad as it was. And, you know, they have to pick themselves off the mat now. You try to think like, okay, even if they go and beat Vanderbilt next week with Joe Milton and get into the Sugar Bowl, I mean, everybody going into the season would have taken 10-2. But it's like you're kind of
the way it happened.
You're kind of now. You almost would be like you're kind of left wanting because this team had the top four. You know, was in a good situation. I think if they had won out, they would be in really good shape to have been in the college football playoff and play for a national title. That's not happening now, and it's tough to process it. I think as a Tennessee fan, and it should be. And Josh Heupel said as much about his team after the game that this should hurt. This should motivate you. This should piss you off. That you had what you had on the line, and you came here and played this badly. And there was no throwing under the bus. He said, you know, we got to coach better, we got to play better. I think everybody knows that. To your point about the defense and heads on spikes, I don't think it's an out of bounds question to wonder. And I think what has to be the question is: was this just a bad night, or was this something that makes you? Do you have to change your approach with who your coaches are? Do you have to change your approach personnel-wise and overhaul some things, particularly in the secondary, which has been, you know, it's been their biggest weakness all season?
Yes.
And we've talked on this podcast countless times, when would it cost them? How much would it cost them? And, again, we no one ever would have thought it would have been this team, this South Carolina team that's been so miserable on offense. And Rattler made a bunch of big-time throws, and Josh Heupel talked during the week on his radio show on Vol Calls. Can't let the quarterback get hot. He was hot from the start. He was in rhythm. He was making all the throws that made him a Heisman Trophy favorite early last season. So, yeah, I mean, just a brutal night. I mean, and the Hooker injury on top of it is just makes it even worse. And you hate to see it because of what he's meant to this program and how much everybody loves him. I know I'll speak for myself. Great to interact with him.
Oh, yeah. You cannot ask for a more pleasant human being to be
right
around.
So it's just it's difficult that it came to this, and you're hoping it's not as bad. But certainly the tone did not give anyone the warm and fuzzies after the game.
And before we go to break, I'll say this. If you want to cling to any possibility, there was a time last season where it looked like Hendon Hooker had a really, really bad injury.
Ole Miss game, right.
And he somehow, some way came back like immediately the next week and was able to play. So it's happened before, you know, sometimes – things just happen and they're not as bad as you think, but it's and you think about with his career, and he's already got the age that gives some scouts cause for pause in their minds, and now if he's injured on top of that, at that point it becomes a real like a financial prop, you know, it hurts you a lot financially with your chances to do some things at the next level, at least with your first contract and all that. So you just hope that it doesn't come to that. Obviously, we'll have more on that when we have it, and we'll get it to you as soon as we can. But right now, as the time we're recording this, we don't have it. There's a lot of answers we don't have right now, and I think we need to get them. But that's right there near the top of the list, obviously. So we're going to step away for just a second, pay some bills, listen to products, services, in-house ads, etc., and then we'll be right back here on the GoVols 24/7 podcast. Hashtag ad
money! eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back to the GoVols 24/7 podcast, brought to you by whatever products, services, and in-house ads you just heard a moment ago during that commercial break. Wes Rucker and Patrick Brown coming to you from Williams-Brice Stadium in Columbia, South Carolina, where Tennessee, fifth-ranked Tennessee for now, just catapulted itself out of the national championship race with a 63-38 loss to South Carolina in a game that I don't think anybody from either program will forget for a very long time. A very, very good day if you're a Gamecock, a calamitous day if you are a Tennessee Volunteer. We have more to discuss about that game, and we'll do that. But guys, just I know you probably don't want to hear tonight, but we got to do it. Just a quick request from our end. If you could take just a little bit out of your day right now, 60 seconds, 75 seconds, 90 seconds tops, go in there and rate and review and subscribe to this podcast. We sure would appreciate it. If you're just listening on the website, govols247.com, nothing wrong with that. We love you. No wrong way to consume this podcast. What helps us out the most, though, is if you go in there, whether you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Google Podcasts, iHeart, TuneIn, Stitcher, anywhere in the world you can cast the fine pod, you can find this GoVols 24/7 podcast. We do this for free. We're happy to do it. It's a labor of love. No complaints from our end. Very few complaints from our end, I should say. But since we're doing it for free, I don't think it's too much to ask to go in there. Rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends that old-fashioned stuff still works too. So tell people that you see around town. Tell people you see at church. Tell people you see walking the dog. Tell people you see anywhere that you see them, because this was a bad night for Tennessee, but there will be good nights in the future as well, and we will be here to discuss all of them. And we'll do this for free, but please rate, review, and subscribe and tell your friends. If you're doing all those things, thank you. We love you. If not,
I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Patrick, diving right back into it. Tennessee obviously played this game, the end of it, without Hendon Hooker. Before that, going into it, though, there was another absence. Senior linebacker Jeremy Banks was not there. Tennessee has not given an official reason for that. I do not believe it was an injury. I can tell you that it wasn't an injury, other than what it was or what it was not. I don't know. But in terms of the impact on the game, you know, that's one of Tennessee's more productive defensive players. He wasn't out there. I got to think it had something to do with what happened. It's not going to explain 63 points, but, you know, would have been nice to have him.
Yeah, and like I said, there's obviously a lot of rumors flying around, as there are with some of these things happen. He's obviously had some issues in his past. You thought most of those were behind him. But, yeah, you know, if that threw some things off defensively, I mean, it might have. But, I mean, so much just went wrong that it's hard to say, oh, just because they had one guy, that's why it went as bad as it did. I mean, this defense has been next man up all season. It's been that way on offense with Cedric Tillman being out too, and Ronald Keaton stepping in. So, yeah, I mean, did it throw something off? I mean, he's an energy guy. He's an emotional guy. He's sort of a leader on that side. But he wasn't here, and it was up to the other guys to step up. And certainly there were failures at every level of the defense, and not having him definitely hurt. But when it's this shambolic of a disaster, it's hard to say that that's the only reason why.
Yeah, and we've said several times, at least in this podcast already, that there were some really, really nice plays that Spencer Rattler made tonight, and I don't want to take anything away from him. Jaheim Bell, fantastic football player. They got a couple guys who have done some really nice things and some guys who made big plays in this game. There were also, however, a significant number of times where Tennessee had the Gamecock in front of them on a ball that was caught behind the chains, and they just got the first down. I mean, whether it was a bad angle, whether it was, I don't know if effort was an issue at all. I don't know if it was focus. I don't know what it was. In some cases, I think with the safeties, it's just lack of athleticism. Those guys have to be very, very, very good angle takers, and they're just not at times. But it was also, you know, the corners. There were times where plays were right there to be made in front of them, and they just did not make them. And so that gets back to something I think you touched on in the first segment, which is a really good question that's going to have to be answered, I think, is, was this just a really bad night, or was this something that could have been helped on the front end, and it wasn't? Because those are two very different things, right? Because if you have the guys to – you should not – South Carolina should not score more points on you than anybody else has. That just should not happen, right? It just shouldn't happen. So maybe part of it was just a bad night or the other team having a good night. But I cannot believe there is any valid excuse for what just happened happening. There is no logical reason for that to have happened other than something obviously went very, very wrong. I don't know if it was a plan. I don't know if it was the mindset of the team. I don't know if it was something else that, maybe we haven't heard yet. I don't know. But there is no excuse for that. And I think Heupel paid lip service to it tonight, said they're going to have to go back and look at everything and try to figure out what went wrong here. But if Tennessee wants to be the kind of program it wants to be and the type of program it's funded to be and the type of program it has the resources to be, things like this in a moment like this cannot happen. The bleeding had to be stopped, and it wasn't.
Yeah, and that gets back to the comment that you touched on that I said earlier in the first segment, that was this a bad day, or was this a moment where you need to look at the bigger picture and say, we don't play the right kind of defense, I don't want to play this way, do you need to overhaul this personnel, do you need to tell some guys that have played a lot that we're going to go in a different direction? You have to figure out some of those roster management questions and some of those things. I don't think anybody's getting fired, so let's just cut that now. No one's going to probably get fired.
I don't think so, but you need to think everything has to be on the table, right, as a possibility. In that moment like this, you just can't have that.
But you're not having a full program review on Saturday, on Sunday.
No. You're doing that after
the regular season, or you're doing that after the bowl game. I think now it'll probably be after the regular season. And some of those roster management things and staff decisions and all that stuff. Was giving up 63 points to this team a fireable offense? I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't.
If it's not, what is?
If you said it was, I wouldn't necessarily have a very good argument to counter you. Other than this defense has played a lot better than this in some other games and helped Tennessee get to 9-1 and two games, potentially two wins away from being in the playoff. You have to also wonder who can you get? Can you get somebody here that wants to play on the other side of that offense? Not everybody's going to want to do that because you're going to give up a lot of yards and things like that. You're going to be on the field a lot. I still think, the biggest weakness on this team all season has been the secondary. It showed up it reared its ugly head in a big way tonight. I think you have to start there. I think that's where your starting point has to be in terms of the personnel there. Who you're bringing in? You got some corners coming in. Who can you maybe go get in the transfer portal? Can you get some of these guys to develop? Do you like the development there? And that's the thing. I mean, they plugged in different guys all season at cornerback. It feels like.
And when they haven't been good, they've at least been good enough more often than not.
Right, and they've had injuries there. Warren Burrell, Kamal Charles, and Christian Charles have been out of the lineup. Brandon Turner gets a start, gets hurt, then he stayed in the lineup. Then Nico Slaughter's moved down. Is he a safety? Is he a corner? You have to review all that stuff. I don't think you're going to do all that big picture stuff on the plane back to Knoxville. I don't think you're going to do it tomorrow in your staff meeting. Those are things that are end of the season questions. But yeah, I mean, those are the things that you have to determine if you're Josh Heupel. Was this a bad game, or was this a sign of okay, we need to pivot and maybe go in a different direction? I don't know the answer to that. I know a lot of people right now are knee-jerking it and saying, fire everyone. That's just what this fan base does. That's what every fan base does.
That's what every fan base, yeah.
There are a lot of firing comments. I guess Tennessee fans haven't had one in a while, so they get hungry.
They were trying to fire Rick Barnes after the Colorado basketball loss. Some of them. I mean, that's right. It's the fringe element everywhere that does that.
Yeah, I mean, it's the easiest thing to say these days. And
I don't, however, in this instance, think it is an unfair question to ask.
No,
if you have to look back at this at the end of the season and say this right here was a chance. It is so hard. It is so hard, Pat. To have a team that's good enough to potentially be in the chase for a championship and then to win the games to put you in position to maybe compete for one. It is so hard, and so hard in this league. It is so hard in this country. Everybody's got good players now. Everybody, high school programs across the country are doing better and better jobs of strength and conditioning. More people have more players. There's more academies throughout the year to get these guys ready. Everybody's got players now. It is so, so hard. What Bama and Georgia have done in Ohio State, that is not the norm. You want it to be, but it's not. For most cases, it's not, right? Go hire Nick Saban if you want that. But what I'm saying is, to get into a position like this, you have got to capitalize when you're in this position. And if you lose, it needs to be because the other team just had better players. South Carolina does not have a better roster than Tennessee. Tennessee has beaten teams this season that it has inferior players or an inferior roster to. South Carolina does not have a better roster than Tennessee. It just doesn't.
And those performances will be taken into account when the whole scope of everything is looked at the end of the season. So, it's easy, I think, to sit here and in this moment and say, you need to, this needs to be done or that needs to be done. This is not the time. This is not, and I think we've heard Heupel say this. He has to take emotion out of these things. And make these decisions, and the hours after you lose 63-38 is not the time to make big decisions like that.
Hell no.
But that's just something they're going to have to look at the end of the season. And again, I mean, going into this game, they had played offenses that were not great. They played a good offense in Georgia, held them under 400 yards, well, because of the rain, whatever. But Kentucky's not a great offense. Missouri's not a great offense. South Carolina was a great offense, but they had a very explosive day on you. So it is a bad day. It should hurt. It should make you mad if you're a Tennessee fan. I don't want to tell anybody how to feel or what to think. And it's going to be weird even if they end up beating Vanderbilt next week, winning a bowl game, winning a New Year's Six game if they get there. That's a whole other conversation you can have later, but on how that works, because judging by our message board, it's unfamiliar territory for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So
it is.
And understandably, because Tennessee hasn't been in this conversation for a while. So, this could still be a great season, but this is always going to be looked at as like a loss that, ruined it. Ruined what it could have been.
It's going to be hard
to get... It's going to sour
it. It's going to be hard to get this skid mark off the shorts, Pat. It just is. Bad. It's bad.
And you have to wonder, and the question is it going to be a bump in the road? Or is it going to be something...
The fork in the road that went the wrong way.
Right. I mean, is it going to be big picture, not a big deal? Or is it going to be ultimately bad day? That's the question that we're all kind of pondering right now. And certainly as... for Tennessee fans, I'm sure there's a lot of just dejection, anger, all those emotions right now, because this team had a lot to play for, had a lot on the line. I think it was capable of certainly. I mean, they were more than three touchdown favorites in this game. They'll be big favorites against Vanderbilt. Maybe we'll see. I guess the line.
It still has to be, right?
I guess the line, and that's going to be. This is going to be a big week for this program, swinging this forward, because Vanderbilt's going to. They're going to think they have a chance to beat you. Vanderbilt has a chance to win and go to a bowl game.
You watch this, and FCS team thinks it's got a puncher's chance.
Right. I mean, Tennessee is going to be basically where South Carolina was last week, where its defense sucks, can't stop anybody, it's a disaster, they need to fire everyone. They're going to have to pick themselves off the mat, and they're going to have to go play a team that's feeling really good about themselves, and should. Vanderbilt's beaten Kentucky and Florida in the past 2 weeks. Clark Lee is, done a great job over there.
No question.
From where that program was coming off that 2020 season where they were not competitive, they lost every game. Vanderbilt's going to be feeling good, and they're going to be ready to take you out. You're going to be feeling sorry for yourself because you just lost your playoff chances. We'll see what happens with Hendon Hooker. You might have a backup quarterback. And this is a big week for this program. Pick itself off the mat and say, that's one loss. It's not going to beat us again. We're going to rebound, and we're going to play better. And Jerome Carvin said after the game, it's on the leaders to do this. So this is a big week. This is a bad night for Tennessee. No other two ways about it. It's a bad night because your defense was embarrassing. It's a bad night because your quarterback got hurt, and a player that's been bigger than just a quarterback. And now it's about what you do with it. And so we saw Tennessee come out after Georgia. It was a close game for a little while. Can they rebound and put this one behind them and still try to make something good out of the season? Because if you think it's sour now, you lose to Vanderbilt and South Carolina to end the season, and certainly the tenor of the season changes greatly if that's what happens. And
yeah, the goodwill is expiring at that point.
And that would be disappointing because this team has been a joy to watch. They've been great. It seems like a very well-liked team by a lot of fans. But now it's a seminal crossroad moment for this program.
Yep.
Because any season you lose to Vanderbilt, it's not going to be a good season. And it's going to be a tricky game because, like I said, Vanderbilt's going to be feeling good. They're going to be feeling confident. You're going to be licking your wounds and probably dwelling on this game. What went wrong? How did it go so wrong? And you got to put this behind you and move on. And only time's going to tell if they're able to do that.
And we'll have a lot more to discuss about that in the coming days. Obviously, it's a big week coming up with Thanksgiving and all that. We'll still have our podcast. We'll still have our coverage on the site. It's still a work week, so there will still be stuff going on. We'll have more coverage from this game on the site. We'll have the whole range of videos and stories, and we'll be on the board and everything. And then we'll be back on Monday with the podcast, and maybe something about this will make more sense then. I kind of doubt it, but maybe. So until then, guys, thanks for being here. And you know what, Pat? Thank you for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for being here, Pat.
You're welcome.
There's that button. And now I can say thank you for listening to this edition of the GoVols 24/7 podcast. We always say that, but we always mean it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. You can find all of us on social media. I'm Wes Rucker 24/7 on Twitter. Ben McKee is Ben McKee 14 on Twitter. Ryan Callahan is Ryan Callahan 24/7 on Twitter. And Patrick Brown is P Brown 24/7 on Twitter. And if you just want Tennessee news on Twitter, nothing else, you can get that at twitter.com/GoVols247. You can also go to facebook.com/GoVols247, where we update that throughout the day, all day, every day, mostly with Tennessee news, but also with news that we think Vols fans will find interesting. But if you want that best, most delicious East Tennessee Smoky Mountain spring water directly from the source, go get that at GoVols247.com, the best site on all of Al Gore's internets for coverage of Tennessee football recruiting, basketball recruiting, Tennessee baseball. Nobody, and I mean nobody, covers Tennessee baseball the way that we do. Also, no one covers the Lady Vols that we do. The award-winning Maria Cornelius does an excellent job covering all things Lady Vols for us all season long. You can get all of that at GoVols247.com. You've also got access there to two forums that run around the clock. Got the Checkerboard and the Summit, where you can go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and discuss anything you want that is not political or religious in nature with us, with thousands of Tennessee fans across the world, and with us who are on the staff. And no one has a more active board with the staff members than us. We are proud to be there all the time answering any question that you've got, and you get all of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is all that it costs, and that's after a quick free trial. And once you pay us that reasonable rate, which is, again, less than one mediocre lunch per month, you get access in perpetuity to Paramount Plus, which is an excellent, growing behemoth of a streaming arm there with us here at CBS, Paramount, Viacom, etc. You get every show CBS has ever made commercial-free. You get new movies. You get classic movies that rotate in every single month. You also get just tons of original content, tons of great original Paramount Plus content. And you also get access to the vaults of Nickelodeon, Smithsonian, MTV, BET, Comedy Central, something for the entire family. All of that for less than the price of one mediocre lunch per month. That is so much stuff. So much stuff. That's a bunch of stuff. Less than one lunch a month. That's all that it costs. So go to GoVols247.com and do that. Take advantage of that. Tell your friends to go do that. Again, thank you for listening. You can always go subscribe to us on every content item, everywhere you can get a podcast. You can get this podcast. So please go do that. Thank you for listening again. And be kind to each other, guys. Just try to be kind to each other. There's just not nearly enough people in this world being kind to each other and having basic human empathy and dignity. Let's be better to each other. Let's be good. See you guys.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.